Hey girl, welcome back to the Say Grace podcast. I'm registered dietitian and weight loss expert, Constance Shelby. I've helped thousands of women eat the foods they love while losing weight. I'm here to talk all things weight loss and women because you know it's never just about the food. So whether you're praying before a healthy home-cooked meal or driving the struggle bus right on through that drive-thru, sit with me and let's say grace. Peace is a word we commonly use, but do we really understand the depths of it? In 2024, it is my mission to better understand peace and make it a more often occurring state in my busy life. On today's episode of Say Grace, I'm sharing my personal 2024 focus, why I chose it, some biblical inspiration for why it matters, and several ways that I plan to practice peace. All right, guys, so it is no new piece of information if you are a, regular Say Grace listener, that last year was a struggle for me. So 2022 going into 2023, I really just had to do some work. I was in the business. I was a little lost. I needed more direction. I needed a little more clarity. We built this house. We moved into this house. It was just a lot as we left 2022 and moved into 2023. And I've talked about that often on here. And so I felt like 2023 was really my year of getting a new normal, kind of like getting everything back in order, getting my life back together. And y'all, it was a wonderful year, okay? 2023 for me was full of a lot of clarity, a lot of hard work, and just out of that came a lot of appreciation, a lot of, peace that I had not felt in so very long. And so, and when I say peace in this context, I mean, I just finally was able to exhale. I was finally able to breathe on some things that kind of had me wrapped up for a while, some things that had me, feeling uncertain. Okay. And so while, again, 2023 was a wonderful year for me, it was a year that I am very thankful for. As we moved into 2024, I knew that I needed to continue to grow, right? There's always, we always have room to grow. There's always somewhere to go, okay? This is why in our program, we never start our ladies off with tracking calories, macros, doing exercise, going for the healthy whole grains, going for more fruits and vegetables, going for the low fat proteins, doing all these different things at one time. Because like I've talked about in another podcast, we like to think of it as a layer on a cake. You are layering your cake one layer at a time so that you do not get overwhelmed and give up. But also it's just the natural progression of life, right? If we're not growing, we're dying. That old saying, if we're not growing, we're dying. And so we, as humans, it is our way to continue that growth. And so for me, while 2023 was wonderful, I knew that there were also more focuses that I needed to have in 2024. And so for a while, it took me a while to kind of, I've been thinking about this since mid-December, and it took me a while to land on a word. In fact, I even went to my clients and I'm like, okay, I know kind of what I want to achieve in 2024. I'm struggling with an actual word. And then one of our sweet ladies, Dawn, she posted a list of words and it shined from the list, this word. And it was peace. And y'all, I use this word often. Peace to me as a child, it was always like peace out, that I'm from that phase of life. But it's also when I hear the word peace, it's like a calm automatically comes over my body. You know, because sometimes when people say like calm down or, you know, chill out or whatever, that can actually strike anxiety for me. It can induce like some frustration. And I don't know why, but the word peace, peace, you know, it makes you feel a little, your heart rate go down just a little bit. It makes you exhale. It makes your body relax. Okay. And so for me, that is the word that I landed on. Now, in the past few years, I have taken measures to slowly adapt like more physically healthy practices for my mind and my stress level. Like we've talked about this on the podcast as well. Like I am all about some mindset. I'm all about doing anything and everything that I can to make my days feel less stressful, right? But I think that is separate from what I'm going to talk about today. And I think you'll understand as we dive into it. Because for me, it was more about me. And I know I am doing this podcast today, number one, to make myself accountable to this, because I know it's going to be very hard for me to adapt this, you know, consistently into my life. Because I am a high performing, high, you know, anxiety, very strong willed. Like I want to achieve. I'm an achiever. You know, that is just who I am at as you know, at my nature. And so the opposite of who I am, you know, at my nature is the word I'm sitting here talking about today: peaceful, calm, you know, slow, all these things. That is total opposite of my personality. And so the number one reason is I want to stay accountable, you know, but number two, the reason I'm coming here for that is I have seen across the board women who are just like I am, who are doing just as I have done, who are so overwhelmed, so stressed out, so busy, you know, and let's put that in air quotes, so busy that they are spiraling and they don't even know peace anymore. And I think in the holiday season, especially, it was so apparent to me because, you know, women were posting on Facebook just how they were hanging on by a thread. And, you know, and then when we had this launch, so many women were in my inbox like, okay, I really need to do this. I want to do this, but I don't have any extra money because I spent it all on Christmas, or I don't have any extra time to commit to myself because we've taken off so much time for holidays, or, you know, it was just, it's this level of like total spaz, like total freak out. You can kind of feel it through their words. And so I know that I am not the only one, because I am seeing it through people's words, through their actions, through their lack of being able to commit to plans or commit to anything for themselves, you know. And so while it's very much a me thing that I am focusing on, I really think that, or I'm hopeful, I'm prayerful that this podcast episode can really help, you know, bring it to light for those of you who may feel the same way that I have felt. And so for me, while I have taken those practices to like, okay, when an anxious topic comes up in my life, I have taken practices to learn how to handle those in a more calm way. I have learned how to say no to things so that I can then have more room in my life. I have learned, you know, and so say no to things that I don't want to do, frankly, you know what I mean? I have learned a lot of these things and I'm slowly putting them into place, but there is still no overall state of peace in my life. You know, I'm seeking peace in certain situations, but I want a peaceful life, right? I want peace to be like the foundation of my life. And so that is my focus this year. That is my word. That is, you know, where I am really seeking to turn my eyes. And so, you know, one thing that I've always said, I say this all the time, it's you can't do everything, right? We literally cannot do everything. We cannot do all the things that we, you know, see on the internet for weight loss. We can only do some of those things, right? Without losing our minds. We cannot be, you know, a full-time working mom, a mom who, you know, plays outside with her kids, a mom who, you know, has a homemade meal on the table every night, and a mom who is Pinterest perfect. Like, the internet may make us think that that's possible, but it's not, y'all. These bloggers that are, you know, putting up these 12-step beautifully created Pinterest Valentines, that's what I'm looking at right now. It's like Valentines for my kids' class. You know, those moms, y'all, they're probably getting paid by a brand or by their ads on that blog to do that. Like, that is their job. You know what I'm saying? And so for me, I'm very conscious of that in my business, because like some weeks cooking is my job. When I'm creating recipes for my clients, cooking for the week becomes my job. And so while I would love to, you know, create these extravagant meals that are, you know, beautiful and well put together and take some time but are totally worth it, I am so always aware of that, because my clients are not. My clients are juggling three babies at home and just trying to feed them something that isn't gummy worms, okay? Or my clients are moms that have walked in the door at 5:30 and are like, what can I cook, have on the table, be ready, and you know, the dishes done and the table cleared by 6:30. You know, like I always try to be aware of that. And so it is something that I feel like we all need to be reminded of all the time. I do not think we can be reminded of it enough. You cannot do everything. You can only do some things. And so for me, as I'm saying that to you, I'm saying it back to myself, because while I have this determination in some areas of my life, like the cooking that I just mentioned, I also can get so hung up in other areas, for instance, like the Pinterest Valentines for my kids. Like, I'm a working mom. I'm a mom that wants to stay, you know, in tune with my kids as best as I can when I am not working. I have a husband that I want to give my attention to. I have a home that I want to keep somewhat, you know, managed. I am not the creative type as much as I really want to be. I'm just not that mom that can pull out all these amazing Pinterest creations and execute them myself without absolutely losing my mind by the end of it, okay? And so, as I say that to you, I'm saying it back to myself. You cannot do everything. You can only do some things. So while I'm saying this, this is where my peace journey has started, right? I will tell you guys that as much as I was determined in November and December to get ahead of my Christmas shopping, to, my gosh, y'all, I decorated for Christmas, like Halloween ended and Christmas decorations went up, because I was like, I'm getting ahead of this. I'm going to make time to enjoy it. You know, all the things. I shopped pretty early for Christmas. But then, of course, I had those leftover, you know, few things that I just didn't get to. And so as much as I wanted to get ahead so that I could have that peace in November and December, it didn't work. It didn't work. And so I looked back on those 2 months and I'm like, okay, I did the things I said I was going to do. I got my tree up. I got my shopping done for the most part. I got, you know, I said no to a lot of things that I did not want to do, that I did not want to be burdened by. So what happened? Why did I not, you know, achieve what I was shooting to achieve? And so I look back and it's very apparent to me that while I was trying to take measures ahead of time, like I was trying to take actions ahead of time so that it created room for peace, I was still not truly seeking peace, if that made sense. Like, I was trying to get my to-do list done earlier, but that didn't lessen the weight of the actual to-do list, right? And so it was still there. It was still like below the surface, constantly bubbling, constantly wondering, what did I miss? What did I miss? What else do I need to do? And so one example I was given someone recently is that, okay, I'm the room mom for Sarah Mason's class. And so I had that plan. Okay, I had it planned out. I was waiting on the mamas to be able to send over their money, and I knew exactly what I was going to get her, the teacher, and I had it all ready to go. So all I had to do was, you know, buy the gift cards at the end when I knew exactly how much money I was going to have. In that, I totally forgot that Glory's class, we were on our own to get the teachers their gifts. We were on our own, each child, instead of the class going in as a whole. And so, what did I do? I forgot until the week of the Christmas party, and then I turned to Pinterest. Now, I'm a really big believer in gift cards for teachers. I know that's what they want. I am not going to go out and like buy you all this cutesy stuff and you really be like, let me put this with my stash of other cutesy stuff. Like, I am like, teachers need the gift cards, right? First of all, they need to treat themselves, and then they probably need some Amazon money to like, you know, restock their classroom by the holiday time. So I knew I was going to give them gift cards, but I couldn't just go to Target, y'all, and buy a regular card. I had to buy, like, I had to create a vessel for the gift cards. I went to Pinterest. I found all these ideas. I did all this stuff. Well, then, of course, it's right at Christmas time. Michael's is out of everything I need. It was just a hot mess. And so, yeah, I thought I had it together. I thought I was thinking ahead. But then when I realized I wasn't, I couldn't just say, okay, I'm about to go buy this card and get a gift card. And that's a me thing. And I mean, I don't know if it's a you thing, but that was just my example. And so reflecting back on that, I am really trying to focus on the piece. Okay. And so then to make it even more of a like God thing, we're doing a Bible study with my small group, and the Bible study was chosen months ago. We just knew we were going to start in January, and I really honestly didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it, like to what it was about, until we started it. And it's called Breathe by Priscilla Shire, and she is in this study. It is talking about peace and rest. Okay, and I'm going to get into that in a little while. So all that to say, we're going to talk about peace today, all that long intro. And I want to kind of go through like the depths of peace and what that really means. Because I think, again, we can just kind of glaze over it if we don't really think about it in depth. And also, you know, I do want to point out, just like, this is me coming to you as a learner. Like, I am clearly learning this, y'all. It's like the middle of January. I have not become a peace expert, you know, in a few weeks. I felt the need to kind of share this beginning of this journey. And then, you know, maybe later in the year, we can come back and kind of talk about it again in a more detailed way. Because I saw so much of this from others, I know that it is a topic that you need to hear. And so I had to look up peace, because it was a prompt in the Bible study, and I wanted to share some of the definitions of it because I thought, you know, it was a really impactful thing for me. So peace can be defined as a period where there is no war or the war ended. And yeah, we talk about this, you know, when literal wars are over, but for me, I couldn't stop thinking about just like, the war is in our mind, right? If you are having mind wars constantly, if you are battling in your brain, there is no peace, right? Another one is free from disturbance, free from disquieting or oppressive thoughts and emotions, a state of tranquility and absence of chaos. And then the tranquility thing, I went and I looked up the definition of tranquility, which is an inner sense of calm that surpasses all understanding. So then I'm like, okay, well, the Bible verse, you know, Philippians 4:6-7, Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, and so that is tranquility, right? That is the peace, okay? No anxiety, constantly giving the things to God, right? Thanking Him for what He has given us, you know, and then the peace comes, okay? And you don't have to understand it. That's the cool thing, is like, you're like, okay, life is crazy. Why do I feel at calm right now? You know, that is, don't you, that is what I crave all the time. You know, the peace comes, even though there's no physical evidence that yet that anything has changed, and it will guard your heart and your mind. Okay, that peace from God protects you from that anxiety, from that frustration, from that lack of understanding, all the things that can cause us to just be up in a tizzy, right? And so that, you know, that is tranquility, that is peace. And so for me, chaos really stood out, less chaos. You know, that was just easy for my mind to be wrapped around. And so then I started thinking, okay, what does chaos look like for me? Like, what is chaos in my life? And so the best way that I could kind of, you know, break it down for myself, because I firmly, if you are not a member, then you must know that I firmly believe that the more broken down and the more understood things are, the easier it's going to be for us to commit to them and stick to them. Okay, if you do not fully understand where you are headed or why and what you want to do, you are not going to fully execute to your best ability, okay? And it's going to be easy to forget about. And so unless you are fully immersed and fully understanding of the task, whatever the task is, it's going to be easier to just kind of look the other way eventually. And so for me, I'm breaking it down in my mind, like, okay, peace is less chaos. What does chaos look like? Okay, what does that truly mean? Because yeah, we can say all day long, we got a lot of chaos. It's chaos. I say it all the time. It's wild up in here, you know, and then talking about my house, it's wild. But like, what does that truly mean? Because you cannot address it. You cannot approach it. You cannot do the opposite of it, of the chaos, unless you name it. Right? Unless you know what it is. And so for me, peace being less chaos, okay, I divided it into three different areas: physical chaos, mental chaos, and spiritual chaos. Okay. And so I kind of outlined some ways that I identify chaos in my personal life. And I'm going to share those with you so that maybe, you know, it resonates with you, or at least it can help you kind of understand for yourself. And so the first one is mental chaos. And I just kind of went down a list for myself, things that I noticed that even if you look at me across the room and you would think, Constance is here. Constance is fine. You know what I mean? Whatever. The mental chaos that is going on in my head, which I think all women, I mean, y'all, this is such a struggle. And like, man, there is so much out there. There are so many studies. There are so many things, which I'm not going to get in today, that is proving that this type of chaos is absolutely wrecking us, absolutely destroying us. Okay. And so, and then here we are just still trying to juggle it all. Right. And so some ways that I have mental chaos: I am always thinking about what comes next. I am in the middle of a project, an event, a dinner, whatever. And I'm like, okay, what's next? What's next? Okay. After this, I'm going to get back to my to-do list and I'm going to look at this and I'm going to try this. Or after dinner, we're going to immediately brush our teeth. We're going to immediately take a bath. We're going to immediately get in the bed. You know, I'm just constantly thinking what's next. Okay. That is mental chaos. Especially like at Christmas time, because I was thinking, okay, I'm going to buy this gift. I'm going to buy that gift. But then, oh my gosh, where are we going to put it? And so we got to clean out the playroom. And then I got to do the playroom clean out when they're not here, because they're going to lose their mind if I, you know, throw away that cardboard box they drew on, or, you know, all the things that's just constantly got our brains rolling. You know what I mean? And I think this is kind of a side note, but I think this is why social media can be so harmful. I feel like social media is a really good thing. Like, we go there for community. We go there to feel, you know, a part of something. And in healthy doses, it's fine. But when we're swiping through TikTok or Reels or in a Facebook group that's got all the ideas for all the different things, it can tear us down because we're thinking, oh, she bought that. That's a good idea. Swipe. Oh, that's a cute outfit. I wonder what the link for that is. Swipe. Oh, I love her table in the background of that video. I wonder where she got it. I need a new table. Swipe. So you're constantly thinking about what you need or want or what's next when we zone out into social media. Again, it can be a good thing, but it's something we need to be aware of, right? That can cause that mental chaos. And it does for me. It does big time. So another thing for me is I hardly feel fully present. Like I feel like because I've got so much in my brain, I'm straddling some kind of line of being where I'm at and where my brain is. You know, you can't be in both places. And so that is one thing that I really want to work on because all the time Jess will be talking to me or the kids will be talking to me and I'll be like, wait, what? Because I've been thinking about something else, you know, and that not only is not healthy for me, it's not healthy for them to be like, oh, mom wouldn't listen to me again, you know. Another mental thing. Okay, so for me, if you're a client, you know, and you laugh, but I have a million personal emails that stack up. I do not care about my emails being read. But for me, text messages is a big burden. Like I feel like I need to respond right then. I feel like I need to have my phone in my hand all the time just in case someone needs to text me. And so that can be a burden, especially y'all, for me personally at 7 p.m. when I'm trying to do family things and be with my kids. And like I love my friends and my family and you know, I love that they come to me for nutrition things. But y'all, at 7 p.m. when I have finally cut it off for the day, the last thing I want to talk to you about is how many calories I think a certain meal has that you've texted me a picture of. You know what I mean? And so for me though, if I've got to have my phone beside me because it's an anxiety thing. So then I've got to check it because I don't want that red flag there. And then I'm like, well, crap, now I have to answer it. And my brain has to go in that direction. Okay. Which I was, you know, not wanting to go. And then in the same sense, like checking my phone at a red light or like mindlessly scrolling social media while my kids are like occupied, you know, while it feels harmless and like some of us can even tell ourselves, oh, we're taking a downtime. I'm taking a break. I'm taking a mental break. You're really not, you know, you're really checking an email and seeing that so-and-so has a sale. And so then let me go over to their website and see if there's anything I need. And then you're scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. Oh my gosh, I see a rain jacket. Now I don't want this rain jacket, but I remember that little Susie needs a rain jacket. So let me go over to Target and see if they've got rain jackets. You know, like you go down this spiral of thoughts that otherwise would not have been there if you had just put your phone down at the red light or if you had just like paid attention to your children while they were having a snack or whatever. And so that is the kind of stuff for me that just like creates this mental overload that then eventually turns me into straddling that line of being present or not, right? They all kind of point to each other, which is funny. No, but not really. It sucks. The next mental chaos thing I have is not being satisfied with my best effort. Like I just talked about with the Christmas cards, you know, just not being satisfied with being able to do what I want, what I can do at that time, even if it doesn't, you know, turn out to be the best or most perfect or whatever. And then like finally with the mental chaos, which it really does wrap all of this into a bow. It's just like, not feeling okay, just sitting and breathing instead of doing something. Okay. And so I think I got into a nasty habit when I was like working on the new program stuff back in, you know, late summer and fall, where I just, every waking moment was dedicated to something with that program. If y'all knew how many hours myself and my team put into building the back end for the program, building the app, building all the new resources, all the new recipes. Like it was just a lot. And so in that season, it required a lot of me. Like I set a deadline and then it required a lot. But it was like once that season was over, I was unable to, you know, find a new normal. because every night for me had been putting, you know, cooking dinner, putting the kids down, and then reopening my computer and getting back to work after working all day long. And so for me, it's just been like kind of a struggle to figure out a new balance because, yeah, in that season, that effort was required, but that season is over. And I know so many of us go through that, like where we have seasons of really busy life. But then it's like when that season is over and there's room for rest, we're finding something else to fill that room with because we don't know how to function otherwise. And so someone was sharing like studies with me that have proved this and like different levels of stress and how it's hard to come back down to that state of normal when we're so used to functioning in a high stress, you know, lifestyle. And so, yeah, just learning again for me to feel okay just sitting and breathing instead of always doing something. And then so moving on to the physical chaos. So literally always like physically for me, I cannot sit still sometimes. I'm always flying around the house looking for something to clean, something to put away, something to do, you know. And that is in an effort to slow that mental chaos, right? And so those two kind of go together in this sense, but like I will, and then sometimes on the flip side of that, I will walk by physical clutter day in and day out, and it constantly is sparking that mental chaos, you know. So it's like I'm on two sides of the spectrum. I'm either completely avoiding the garbage that needs to be taken out for days, or I am like looking for the cleanest surface I can find and trying to make it even cleaner. You know what I mean? And so really trying to find a balance there. And that's going to be very hard for me. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there. Avoiding my physical needs, okay, to finish a mental task. Okay, so like if I need to really take a break, like if y'all, it was a couple weeks back, but I was in the middle. Internet website things are the hardest thing in the world to me. Like it is the most stressful day when something has happened to the website or to a automation that I have, you know, set up. And I was in the middle of kind of figuring that out. And I had been up here for hours. And Jess came up here and was like, hey, why don't you just like take a break? Why don't you go to the gym? And I was like, leave me alone. You know, like I did not want to hear that. But that's exactly what I needed to do to like detach my brain, to calm down, to maybe untangle some of the crazy, you know, wires that were getting crossed about this certain project that I was working on. And so, you know, but it's my habit to avoid that and just power through so that I can get to that end game, so I can check that box and feel better about getting that done. You know, it's same for like eating. You know, I'm like, let me just finish this and then I'll go eat lunch, and it's like 1:30 in the afternoon, you know. And so really, you know, a goal is to kind of pay attention to that physical need more. I actually just did a webinar about circadian rhythms and how it is like totally wrecking our bodies. Our internal clocks are out of whack because of our habits, our routines, just different things that we do. And it can lead to disease. I mean, it also leads to high anxiety and the way we feel daily, how we do not feel well. We will probably do a podcast episode on that in the spring because I am just geeking out on it. But we're not going to go there today. And then spiritual chaos. Okay. So lack of consistent presence. Like over the past few years, I have gotten consistent with getting up in the morning, doing my devotion, spending some time with God. Okay. But being consistent on timing and showing up is not the same as consistently being present, consistently fully, you know, diving in, like making me, you know, feel like I walked away with some word that day, you know. And so last year I did the Bible recap for a little while in the spring, up till the spring, and then I gave up on it because Leviticus, y'all, good grief. But then I picked it back up for the New Testament, and I made it all the way through the New Testament, and that is something that I'm very proud of. But it just became a chore. You know, I would like with the holidays specifically, and we had a few little trips, I was playing catch up on several days, and then I was just trying to get through it. I wasn't really absorbing it. You know, it just became, I hate to say the word chore, but kind of a chore. Like I was doing it to get it done, but I wasn't fully immersed in it. And so for me this year, like I know everybody's starting the Bible recap and I pray like you, like I'm not, I am not, the Bible recap is a wonderful resource. But for me, maybe it's my personality, maybe it's my season of life, I don't know. But I was unable to get to a place of like comfort with God every morning, which is what I really need to do. And because I was just reading the words, you know, and so I, you know, am still going to be consistent with showing up, right? But I'm going a little bit of a different direction to make sure that I am all in when I do show up in the morning. And for me as a busy mama who have kids that may wake up and snuggle with me while I'm finishing it, you know, it may look like 5 minutes or it may look like 30. And I can't, you know, in this season of my life, I can't promise that for myself, but I am promising to dive in when I'm there. Okay. And so another, you know, spiritual chaos that I tend towards is asking God to do for me instead of getting still enough to ask him to lead me in his plans. You know, I'm like, oh, I think this would be awesome. Let's do this, God. Instead of him saying, you know, being quiet, being still, shutting my wants off and saying, what do you have for me? You know, and I know that when I do that, it's the best stuff that comes. You know, when I say, what do you have for me? Then I'm like, oh my gosh, look at all this amazing things he did, you know. Another spiritual chaos is my inability to stay mentally quiet or in sync for more than just a few minutes in prayer or in my day to day. Again, it's going back to that mental chaos. I'm unable to say, like, to just talk to God and walk with God for more than just a few minutes, unless I'm outside on a walk or I'm at the gym. Those are my two times that I'm able to kind of clear my head a little bit more. But that is like some mental chaos where I just like, I desire so much to be able to stay focused in my mind for longer. And then my last one that I have on my little list is, I release energy without discernment. Okay, so meaning I react in a way because it's normal for me or it's seen as normal for others, but I do it without any consideration or reflection first. Like responding in a situation where someone, you know, a group of people may all have the same opinion about a topic, and then I respond as if I do without really thinking like, wait, do I, you know, or just maybe a reaction to something that I would usually react that way, you know, in my flesh, but then without, you know, stopping and thinking, okay, is this how the Lord would have me react? You know, just letting that energy come through me without taking that beat to really know, like, is this how I should be, would be, could be reacting if I had stopped and listened to the Lord first? And so I want to talk a little bit about how I'm going to approach all of this to achieve a little more peace. And so the one thing though, I did want to hit on this, and I know this is going to be a long episode, y'all, but I just felt so inclined for it. So next week's will be shorter. So you can hold on to that promise. But so I want to talk first, before I talk about what I'm going to do, a little bit about this Bible study. And y'all, we are in just like week one. I mean, I am so excited to continue through it because, oh my gosh, just week one has been so powerful for me. But in it, she talks about how, you know, when God created the world, okay, on the seventh day, God finished his work. Okay, we know that, right? So he created it all in the first 6 days, and then on the seventh day he was finished and he said, you know, this is the day of rest, okay? But I know that, right? That's not new knowledge for a lot of us. And so I feel like it was so powerful for me in this study because she points out that all of creation, all of the other stuff, was complete by the sixth day. Okay, so why wouldn't they just say, like, God created in 6 days instead of, you know, seven? Why is it seven? Okay, because all of creation was not complete. The seventh day was also part of our creation, and it was rest. Okay. So in my mind, I've always just kind of thought of like, all right, yeah, he worked real hard for 6 days. And then the aftermath was that seventh day, which was rest. Rest was an aftermath of the hard work. He earned the rest from the hard work. But the way this is delivered is, no, it was an intentional placement, just like everything else was. Just like all of the other days were. The day of rest was intentional. It was not an aftermath. It was not an afterthought. It was intentionally there, okay? And what she says is so powerful to me, that the universe is considered incomplete without the rest, okay? Without the peace. Without the peace, there's no true rest. So if we aren't like actively pursuing regular peace and regular rest, we are incomplete. The universe is incomplete. Okay. And so as much as we want to act like, even on Sundays, we're like, oh, Sunday, the day of rest, we're going to go to church. We're going to maybe stroll the grocery store. We're going to watch a movie with our family. If your brain is constantly moving, if you were mentally making that to-do list of what's going to come next, if you are spiraling inside, you have no peace and you have no rest. You are not honoring the Sabbath day, you know? And so that was just so powerful to me, because for me, it is so easy to think, okay, we're supposed to be resting, but this is a waste of time, right? A rest is a waste of time, because when we're sitting here resting, we're not getting things done. But what God says is that you need that rest to properly get the next 6 days done. Right? You need it. It is part of it. And so for me, when I think about it, for me personally, it's if I'm not taking that rest, then I'm not doing my best work. So even if I decide I'm going to work 7 days straight, it's going to be crappy work compared to if I just said I'm going to work for 6 days and then intentionally focus on full peace and full rest. And I say it work, but I mean like all the things, y'all, what we're doing in our lives, you know, not just going to work, but all the managing and thinking and all the stuff that we do day in and day out. If we are not able to remove ourselves from that, then we're not doing our best work. Okay, for the Lord, for ourselves, for our family, whatever that's got us tied up thinking, oh no, I gotta keep spiraling, I gotta keep coming up with more lists, I gotta keep doing, you know. We're not doing it at our best if we are also not honoring the rest that is needed. And so in this study, she talks about how rest was given to us as a gift. Okay, it's a gift. You know, he says it's a gift, you know, because of the work or whatever. But even in the best gifts, right, even if we get the best gifts, they can be overused and become a stronghold. For some reason, I thought about like PlayStations and Nintendo or whatever it's called. Like, you know, a lot of our kids get that for a gift. But then after a while, I know when I was young, it was Nintendo 64, okay? And after a while, that's all we were doing. We were zombies. We were slaves to that gift. Like, I remember coming in from school and going straight back to the Nintendo and staying there until my mom forced me for dinner. And I was like raging by then. I did not want to go eat dinner. I was right in the middle of my game and blah, 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 right? That was a gift. But then it quickly became a stronghold. Okay, our cell phones, you know, that's why parents are so hesitant to get their kids phones now, because it's a gift and it's so exciting to watch them open a phone for the first time. But then what happens? They can't get it out of their hand. They're constantly taking selfies or texting friends or, you know, they're always on an app. Like, they can't, it becomes a stronghold. It becomes something they can't sit down. And so in the same way, thinking about our lives, like our children, they're a gift, y'all. But are we like helicopter parents? Are we like overbearing? Are we constantly pushing them to do more, be more, have more? You know, has it become something way more than just the gift? Our jobs are gifts. You know, they provide us with, you know, a a means to want to get up and go every day. They provide us with something to look forward to achieve, to feel accomplished in, to make money, to use for our, you know, for our pleasures, really. But have we become slaves to that work where we can't shut it off? We can't leave it alone. Like even, and this is a big one for me, you know, because my work is like my ministry. And she even talks about how people in ministry can become slaves to their gift that was given to them by God, right? But if you can't detach yourself from it, it is now a stronghold. It is not just a gift. It is a stronghold. It is something holding you down from your life that you were intended to live. And then same with which I'm seeing day in and day out, y'all, material things. Like, oh my God, the pink Stanleys or whatever it was the few weeks ago. Like, I mean, y'all. That in itself, it's just like such a, and you see, I see things all the time, like, and I'm in some of them, groups dedicated to certain brands of clothes or groups dedicated to certain material things where it's all you think about, all you talk about, all you obsess over. I mean, like one of the Stanley groups keeps coming up over my timeline as like a suggested group for me. And I'm like, I don't know why. Cause y'all, I am married to an Owala. Owala is my jam, but it keeps showing up and I keep seeing these people post like, I went all the way up to Target to ask a Target worker when they were going to release these Stanleys and how rude. She wouldn't even tell me. Like, it's just become a whole focus, right? A material thing that in 2 years, probably a year, probably 6 months, that thing going to be dented and put in the back of the cabinet. You know what I mean? And so while I am very thankful for an Owala or a Stanley or whatever that keeps my water cold and has a handle and is really cute, right? That's a gift because if you remember drinking water 5, 6, 7 years ago, y'all, it was a struggle. We had them Nukes cups out there with plastic straws, or we had, you know, the Camelbacks that sweated everywhere and leaked or whatever, you know. And so I am thankful for the gift of these inventions of water bottles or cups that are amazing for drinking water out of, but it's still just a material thing. It is not something to worship and to have some kind of like mental breakdown if you don't make it in time to get the hot pink sparkly one, right? And so, you know, it rest in the same way was given as a gift, but are we avoiding it because we have other things that take precedence over that? Okay, are we keeping all these other things in context as the gifts they were, but also are we keeping rest at the forefront of our mind in a way that, okay, this is a gift and I need to honor it. I need to cherish it. I need to really take advantage of it instead of, I don't have time for that right now, you know? And so for me, I know that I have to be intentional, right? I have to be intentional about that. It can't just be something like, oh, okay, now I've got some time to rest. Because like we just talked about earlier, that doesn't happen. When there is time, we fill it. When time shows up, we fill it. And we do not fill it with rest. We fill it with scrolling, shopping, cleaning, working. We fill the time. Okay. And so she does, she talks too about like how we, you know, almost feel like something's wrong with us if we don't fill that time with something because we look around and everybody else is filling it, right? And so in the world, it's so easy to have this hustle mentality. And it's crazy because even now, like we look at the world now, it's like, you know, the craziest, busiest it's ever been. But honestly, even in the early days, it was hard to overcome this hustle mentality. So in Exodus, like when the Israelites, they wanted food, right? And so God rained down manna in the morning. Okay. He was like, oh, okay, y'all gonna whine. Here's some food. Here's some manna in the morning. Okay. But Moses told them to only take what they needed every day and then only gather extra enough for the Sabbath day. Okay. So that was he's like, here's your gift, right? Here's the manna. You wanted it. You whined about it. Here it is. But only take what you need and gather extra for the Sabbath day. And then after all that, God gave them what they wanted, right? God gave them what they asked for. Just like many of us, we have asked for these children. We have asked for this work. We have asked for this job that we love, right? We have asked for the ability to buy these material things. But then what did they do? They still did not obey. After God gave it and gave just these simple instructions, they still did not obey, okay? Because they were so used to that hustle of the work. They were so used to, you know, doing the most. They were so used to wanting more, 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 okay? So they went out and they gathered more than they needed, and then it spoiled. Or they went out and they didn't gather enough for the Sabbath day, and then they go out there like looking and they're like, what, where's the manna today? Like, you didn't listen. So now you're going to be hungry all day. You know what I mean? And so it's such a picture of who we are now though, because we're doing the same thing. We're asking for things, but we're not following through once the blessing is given and handling them in the way that he would want us to handle. And so she gave this analogy, and I thought it was so cool because it's just, it was such a good visual for me, and it was an analogy of a fire pit, okay? And so fire is good, right? And in context, when you're freezing, okay, you want a fire to warm you up. Or when you need, you're outside and you need to cook something, raw specifically, you want a fire to cook it and make it safe for you to eat, right? So when fire is contained, when it is underneath that grill, or when it is, you know, in a pit, a fire pit, when fire is contained, it is the best thing imaginable in certain circumstances, when you're cold or when you're hungry and need to cook something, right? And so fire is all of these blessings we just talked about, the gifts, right? But if we let fire get out of control, if the fire comes out of the fire pit, if the fire hits dry grass, if the fire, you know, spreads, then what happens? Then how are we viewing that fire, right? Then that same gift that was able to help, you know, feed us, was help warm us, that same gift turns into chaos. It can bring catastrophe, okay? It can bring destruction and disaster. It can burn down homes. It can kill people, right? It's the same exact gift. It was just allowed to get out of control. It was allowed to come out of its containment. It was allowed to, you know, overstep those boundaries. And so in the same way, this hurried, busy, hustle life, it can be a gift. But if we let it get outside of the boundaries that were intended for it, then it becomes disastrous. It becomes chaos. It becomes, you know, destruction. And so we have to be intentional to make sure that we hold those boundaries, that we hold those walls, that we keep that fire pit, you know, keep the fire in the pit, right? Because if no one does, then what's going to happen? The fire spreads, and this is our life. So we're the ones responsible to keep it contained. We're the ones that have to be intentional to make sure that we keep all our busy, all our hurry in check, but put up that boundary when we need to say, yep, I got a lot to do, but it's going to be there tomorrow because I have got to rest. I have got to honor this Sabbath. I have got to take that exhale so that this fire doesn't come up out this pit and hit all this dry grass and then kill us all. You know, because ain't nobody seen a wrath like a stressed out mama losing her mind from no rest and too much work, right? And so as I am thinking about all this for myself, I'm getting ready to wrap it up, but I am going to give you guys some ways that I'm going to focus on this for myself. And I encourage you to do it, you know, for you too. You know, as I'm thinking about that analogy and just about how, okay, what are the things that I'm like looking away from in my life that I need to intentionally put up a boundary for to then, you know, allow this peace, allow this rest, allow all of this to come into my space and my life. So what are some things that I need to put into place and I need to focus on and I need to welcome so that I can change it. Because sure, like we all can play the victim, y'all. I can play the victim, right? I have young kids. My business is so busy. And you just never know when somebody might need something. They might text me at 7 p.m. asking about calories, or they might, you know, their app might blow up around 9 p.m. and, you know, just might be out of town for work. And Sarah Mason might have, you know, extra this, that, and other. Yeah, we're busy. Right. There is that I'm not saying like ignore your clients, ignore your husband, ignore your kids and just focus on peace. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that there are spaces in my life that I could be actively pursuing peace practices that right now I am actively pursuing, you know, busy practices. Okay. So I'm not saying, you know, go to work and ignore what your boss says. That's not it. But I am saying, why are you at work commenting on everybody's post on Facebook? clearly you aren't working. So could you be practicing some peace in that moment? You know what I mean? And so some things for me that I have just kind of put into, you know, on paper and in my brain, and just some things that I'm going to work to be intentional about. I'm not going to be perfect at them. Lord have mercy knows. And some of these are more of a priority than others for me, but I just listed several so you can kind of get some ideas. First, doing that morning devotion that, like I said, will actually allow me to dive in and be present with the Lord. That includes more intentional prayer. Okay, talking to God, praying every morning, you know, for the peace. Like, I mean, there is nothing, like, if you take one thing from this podcast, it is, if you just sit down and be like, Lord, give me peace. You know, I am coming to you desperate for peace. I feel like he gonna answer, y'all. I've been doing it for a couple weeks now, and it is crazy how much better my days have gone. Okay. It is absolutely insane because I have simply acknowledged that I need the peace and that I can't get it by myself. And so God, hey, I need you for this. And then he's like, oh, hey, here I am. Okay. It's insane. But another practical way is I am attempting to put my phone down more often, specifically between 3 and 7 PM. Okay. When I get my kids from school, and, you know, until after dinner time. And then if there's anything I need to handle, I can. But like, y'all, for the past several days, I have achieved such a, like, I have winded down so well, which goes back to that circadian rhythm thing that I will talk to you guys about, you know, later on. But I have allowed myself that wind down by saying I am not working. I am not engaging heavily between 3 and 7. So that has allowed my brain to kind of calm. And so then by like 7 or 8, I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna like work or whatever. I'm going to read. I'm going to continue relaxing. And it has made for a much more productive and enjoyable day the next day. You know, it's putting boundaries around my time so that then I know, okay, I've got 8 to carpool to work. And so you better focus in here, sister, because you are going to rest. For me, I'm really bad about just being like, okay, well, I'll finish that up after I get the kids from school, like when I'm up here working at noon. And I'm trying to kind of break that habit by fully having that cut off. And then I do get in the Facebook group and like kind of chit chat with the ladies at night, because I know that's when they're focused in, but that's more fun for me than actual work. So okay. So then my next one, is purposefully letting things be. Okay. So just kind of letting things be as they are, instead of feeling like, okay, I've got to make it perfect. I've got to make it exactly how I've envisioned it. You know, like in the middle of conversation with my family members, I'm like cleaning up, you know, like that is not peace. That is not rest. And so really trying to, if anything, I'm testing myself. I'm challenging myself in this one to say, yep, I see that dirty cup sitting over there, but I can wait until Jess gets done with this conversation to go over there and pick it up. Okay. It's like, it's a reminder to focus in on where I am right now and what I'm doing. Okay, baking bread, y'all, this is something that I have committed. I have written it on my vision board. I am like all in for baking bread in 2024. I love it. It is so calming for me. It is such a stress reliever for me. I do not do it with anyone. I must have the kitchen to myself, because then it becomes not calming if all my kids and all my people are in there. But it is something for me that is just, it slows my mind, and it is somewhere I want to be, and I love it. And so baking bread is on my to-do list heavily in the 2024 year. And then another focus has been cleaning out. Okay. Not from a way, I know I just said that I was going to let things be and not rush around cleaning things up. And so I want to define the difference here. Clutter for me is anxiety producing. Like, there is no, I admire these people out here that are like, just leave the dishes, leave the toys. Da-da-da. But no, it is not. Clutter for me is anxiety inducing. Okay. And so I cannot have it. But oftentimes for me, out of the anxiety is when I clean, right? So like I just said, like if I see a cup, I'm like, oh my gosh, I see that cup. And then I feel I feel the anxiety rising or whatever. And then I clean, right? And then I rush around like a mad woman cleaning all the things, you know, to it's some sort of like attempt to minimize that anxiety, right? So for me, my focus has been to switch how I think about that, to approach cleaning out as a means of getting ahead of it instead of reacting out of it. You know, it's like I'm preventing the anxiety if I just calmly approach this clean out versus doing it very last minute before company comes over, or, you know, when I've had it with whatever the clutter is. And so over the holiday, I really just took one room at a time. I didn't try to knock it all out in one day. I just took a couple hours, you know, whenever I had them, and just like focused on one area and did it in a way that was not in a hurry, not out of frustration, just from like clarity and calm. And honestly, y'all, I think it was some of the best cleaning I've ever done because of that, because I wasn't just trying to hurry up and get it done so I could get on to the next thing. I was just focused on the one room, making it a space that felt calm and peaceful and, you know, not junky, and then calling it done until the next room, you know, until I had time for the next room. And so, yeah, because yes, clutter, yeah, I don't care. Y'all, you will never convince me otherwise. Clutter makes me a lunatic. So the next one on my list is prioritizing more exercise. And so this is not out of a weight loss, muscle gain, blah, 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 focus. It is simply that in this year, and I think I've talked about this here before, in 2023, I realized that if I run or if I get on that elliptical, it brings me calm. I know that is so, I mean, some people are like, what? But when I am in the middle of a repetitious workout. Now, I mean, I love bar, but it doesn't, and I love the way I feel after bar. I love, you know, some of the workouts I do at home and the way I feel after that, but those don't bring me that clarity and that calm mindset during the workout. Now, afterwards, yes, I feel like a million bucks, okay? But I'm talking, if I'm walking, if I'm running, if I'm on that elliptical, if I'm doing something repetitiously, is that a word? Repetitiously. Anyway, if I'm doing something that is the same movement over and over and over again, it calms my brain. And I mean, I don't know, I haven't looked up the science behind this, but it does for me. And so I have done some of my best thinking, some of my best decision making, some of my best talking to God on a treadmill or an elliptical in 2023. And so when I'm thinking about, okay, how can I bring more peace? How can I bring more of the calm and the clarity that I desire? And I look back, I am looking at my current life and I'm like, well, that's where I find it, you know, a lot of times. And so I'm committing to do it more, you know, simply from that standpoint. It could be 20 minutes. It could be 30 minutes. It could be 45 minutes. It just depends on the day and the time, right? But it's just focusing on trying to get it done more, which I think we have to have that mentality around exercise. Y'all, we cannot do something that we suffer through and hate consistently and think we're going to keep going to the gym or to whatever. That is miserable, you know? So finding something that you really enjoy outside of the physical aspects that it may bring. Another one is gardening. I love a garden. I love the idea of a garden. Now, Jess would say that I love the idea of a garden and then he does all the hard work, which is probably true. But I love the idea of planting something and then watching it grow and then going out and, you know, harvesting it. And so I'm going to do that more. We do it every year, and it's just something that I'm going to commit to. Last summer, I feel like when I was getting so caught up in the business and everything, the rebuild of the program, I kind of neglected my time out there because I felt like I don't have time to go out there. You know what I mean? And this year, I'm really committing to making sure that I make that time because it's something I enjoy so much. Hugging my husband and snuggling my kids. This is something that we do often, but I'm looking at it in a different light. I'm looking at it as like, you know, physical touch causes you to just slow down your breathing. It causes you to just slow down your thoughts. And so I want to do that more, right? To any chance of more peace and getting to love all my babies and my husband, right? That is a win. Another one for me that is kind of off topic, but kind of not, is keeping track of expenses. I found that in 2023, Jess is the budget guy, y'all. He is the money man. Well, you know that if you follow me on social media or anywhere, like we talk about it often here. And so for me, I've just kind of always thought, well, that's his deal. You know, he's thinking about the money, so I don't have to. But the problem with that is that I'm spending the money. And I noticed that just spending, I'm not in tune with what I'm spending. I'm not in tune with how it's being spent. I'm not in tune with like how much money we're going to have left over at the end of the month. Like I'm not in tune with any of that. Now he is, you know, but the man, you know, it's not his best day if he's going to have to come in and talk to me and say, hey, you need to chill on the spending for the rest of the month. So he avoids that like the plague. And so it's been this kind of unhealthy like balance with me spending, but him really tracking the expenses, if that makes sense, because I have no knowledge. And honestly, for a long time, I preferred it that way, to just have no knowledge of what the bank account was looking like. And so for me, but because of that, it brings anxiety around, you know, making more money or all the things. And so I have committed to really making an effort to keep track of how I spend money. And so he's given me a budget, y'all. We are back on that budget train. It's a real good budget, though. It is not, he's not trying to make me suffer out here in these streets, but it is just something, it's parameters, right, that I can work between. Because just like that fire pit analogy, like money's a good thing. It's a blessing. It's something to have. But if I just start throwing dollar bills like they're, you know, they're invincible, well, then it becomes destruction, right? There is lack of discipline. There is, you know, chaos. There are material things that are in the way that are causing clutter that's giving me anxiety, right? Like it's just a lot. And so I think, you know, just in the way that I teach my clients about calories are not meant to like shame you or, you know, be any sort of thing to obsess over, but we all have to have parameters to know what to work in between to achieve the things that we're working to achieve. And so it's the same with this budget for me. And then the last one, and then I'm wrapping up here, is listen to worship music when I work. Now I listen in the car all the time. I listen at the gym all the time, but I used to listen when I worked all the time, but I got out of the habit for some reason, and I really don't know why, but there's just something about that brings peace and calm in probably the most stressful area of my life present day. And so, yeah, I am committing to, you know, bringing that calm into the stressful zone, you know, when I need it, but even when I don't need it, to kind of keep me here. So, yeah. Those are just a few like things that I am striving towards for peace in my life. Again, I am just learning. This is all I am fresh in this new year on this mission, specifically for a life of peace. And so we'll see. Maybe we'll do a follow up. You know, maybe we'll kind of talk about it as the year continues. I would personally love to know if you have, you know, made this a focus in your life in the past, or if you are planning to in the future, and any ideas that you have for yourself. Yeah, I would love to know that. So yeah, that is it for today. I hope you guys have an awesome, awesome week, and find some peace where you can. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Say Grace Podcast. If you enjoyed it, it would mean the world to me if you left me a 5-star review. Also, make sure to follow the show so you don't miss another episode. Plus, if you're interested in learning more about losing weight and eating the food you love, make sure to subscribe to my email list by going to perfectfitnutrition.com. See ya!